So I think on the advertisement, this was topic two, and kind of rebuilding God's way. So how to deal with this. This is more my side now, because we, from this story, then Dwayne and habitual sin and brain and things that it looks like, what it does to our bodies physically, and then how what helps for him to get better. And then a lot of this one is just the how to deal with my stuff from this, and then which can really go with any trial, problem, stress, or whatever a lot of times. So we wanted to look at one of the things. I had to stop listening to myself so much and speak truth to myself. It's easy to go through a certain time frame, and I'm like, whoa, I just went from here to here that fast, and the whole what ifs and this and that. So I've tried to work on that, and not believing Satan's lies and kind of getting attacked that way and speaking God's truths. So what do you guys think sometimes, just to, if anybody has any ideas, and it can be from other trials or other things, some of the core beliefs or things that we may start to think about ourselves when betrayal happens, or just in general when life hard stuff happens. Does anything pop into your head? What we may struggle with internally? Of course, with betrayal, it was like, I'm not pretty enough, not smart enough, funny enough, I'm not enough, period, not talented in ways he would want me to be, even though I know factually this is not my fault. But then we tend to like just analyze, what could I do different, better, or more? It's easy. I had to remind myself, this isn't my fault. This isn't my fault. Because just a lot of times, it just feels that way. So, of course, we can know, back to looking in God's Word, that we're a beloved daughter of Him. And who we are in Him, our identity in Him, is how we should be thinking, and then will about ourselves, feel about ourselves too, if we're thinking rightly about ourselves. So, that was a big feat for me. And I do have this list, which I didn't read every single verse on this was given to me, which it's all, Bible verses, but I didn't look up to see if it really matched which one. But you guys have probably had lists like this before about who we are in Christ. But, our blessed, chosen, saved, His workmanship. But that's just always helpful for struggling with how we should think about ourselves and who we are in Him, where our worth is. And so if I can make copies of that if you guys want. But the story that I really like, one of my counselors at Faithful and True, she was, her story, she was like, her label wasn't a counselor, but she was in charge of like the marriage and family, whatever, where she worshipped. She was counseling, the care something. And so her husband was working at the church too, and a long story short, he had some of these same habitual sin issues and got fired. She didn't know about it. And she just realized that she had kind of based her identity on her work, her job. It's like, I'm a counselor, and then I'm a daughter of God. I am a, we can even say I'm a mom, and then I'm a beloved daughter of God. Like how we define ourselves really makes a difference of what we live for. And even when we never miss a service, or really think we're putting God first, it's easy until that gets kind of taken away from you then to be like, okay, I did kind of was putting my worth there. So I think that's what happened with me some, is I just kind of lost myself thinking, I was mostly a stay-at-home mom and trying to be a good wife and mom, and then it led me to get to know God better, for sure, and get to know who He was and who I was in Him and where my trust should be. So there's definitely the struggles with this thing in our lives when it happens, of kind of knocking you off your feet that way a lot of times, not for everybody. Let's see. Does someone want to read 1 Peter 1, 3? Mm-hmm. Whenever you get there, just go ahead. Who wants to?
1 Peter what?
1:3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Thank you. And then if I just stay with my notes, you guys, I might do better. I've got to just almost not look up because, so she had defined herself with her marriage. And I think I did too a lot to kind of define myself that way. And with that slipping away, it was like, whoa. And she did with her job too. But that verse is my hope is in Jesus. It's not my husband. It's not my family. It's not my parents. It's not my kids, a job I may have, schooling or anything. And so to really think about that verse and where is my hope? Where's my trust? Where's my heart at of who I really am? And he will never disappoint. So I really had to work on that. Does anybody know, I'm sure you do, but what a trigger is, or more so, I think it's hard to define sometimes. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Maybe you do hear the word more so in the addiction world, but it's let me go to my, no. What's that?
Start something.
Yes.
Start something, like the trigger of a gun, start the gun.
That's true. I like that. I never heard anybody say that before. Well, some big definitions are triggers are an internal or external cue, something that sets off a memory tape or flashback transporting the person back to the event of his or her original trauma. Simply put, because it's not only to do with trauma, simply put, it is a stimulus that causes a thought. It can be a physical, emotional, it can be a smell, a taste, something you see, hear, a place. It can be the smell of popcorn and give someone a good memory of going to the movies one time and having fun with their family or whatever. So it can really be a trigger of, it's not always bad. But a lot of times, it's with traumas, it can be really, really bad. Or with people that are in the habitual sin and addicted to something, they may have lots of them. A place where they used to go to buy whatever, or a place they used to go to meet up with somebody, so. It can be lots of different things. Billboards can be triggers. People, I have many different ones. There was one lady that I know that she had kind of had the same type of situation that had happened with her as me. And they were in a movie, her and her husband. And they I think she said they'd even checked the movie out or thought they had or something and didn't realize the scene was coming. And something that was just not good to... But stay and watch, period. But really, she couldn't even turn her head or close her eyes when she got up and she walked out and her husband thought she was going to the restroom and she just started walking home. Like, I think it was raining. It was bad. It just kind of overtook her. It was a scene that was definitely a trigger to what he had done and this and that. So it can be very, very powerful when traumas are new. So, and you guys have probably with people that have truly suffered PTSD or different things have heard about that. So, I had several, and before I even mention any, if I do, I'll say some things about them is that it's really helpful to learn from them. There are things that can learn and speak truth into it. Reach out for others for help and support. That's huge. Once again, when I would call my friend or text somebody that lifted, first praying to God, for sure, and then reaching out really lifted the overwhelmingness of it sometimes. So one of the many things that helped me improve my relationship with God. Let's see, he really, really healed memories and those things a lot. One of the ladies I've listened to, she'll have women call her sometimes that need some help, and she'll be saying, "Now, wait a second, has he repeated? Has he acted out or done anything again that he shouldn't?" And they will be like, "No, there's not been more betrayal or lying or dishonesty, but they just got triggered so badly." She's like, "Well, speak truth into that. This happened, and you don't like it, but he's not the same man he was." So. That was helpful. But yeah, I have many. If you guys have questions at the end, I mean, I can share things if it would help. But I would say the next thing, and for me, which was huge, which would be with most people, but there's kind of an ongoing thing with me with the anxiousness, fear, and worry was very high. And which we can all relate to this, what are some things that we use to cope with when we have some of these not good feelings, no matter what our circumstances are? What'd you guys say, some things that we might do sometimes that aren't the...
Prayer.
Yeah, prayer is definitely what we should do. Yeah. But what can we do that we shouldn't do? How we cope in ways that we shouldn't.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, no, you said the right answer. You said the right answer. And not even only always simple things. I just mean ways to kind of run from instead of going straight to God or others that aren't the most healthy.
I think we just overanalyze everything.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And they're stuck in our head. And yeah, for sure.
Are you looking for cookie dough and ice cream? And all
that's what things? I have. That is what I have. But first thing is food. I have. I'm getting visuals right now. Food. Yeah, emotional eating, eating disorders. I mean, just all sorts of things. That's just probably, I think, one of the biggest things for a lot of us and easy is because we do need to eat every day. So it's an easy thing to be like, for me at least. And actually, relationships is one way that we should reach out to people. But I would say that I almost coped in a not great way because I'm thankful for my family and friends. But and I think this can be used in an okay way too, calling, of course, and getting our minds off ourselves. How are you doing? What's going on with you? This and that. But I used that to a point of just not even dealing with what was right in front of me. So that would probably be with the avoidance. Busyness. Of course, we know people do self-harm type things all the time. Cutting is very... It's kind of, they say, the new anorexia. It's really, really common now. And so, of course, we can go to alcohol and drugs and then things that aren't good. I know people that have gotten on medications for, you know, helpful, good reasons, but then they're easy to abuse. Benzos, but the benzodiazepines, I'm saying that right or wrong. But those are easy that are prescriptions to help with things that then can be used to just really numb out that are legal and okay, you know. So, yeah, doing the worry study from God's Word, it is very interesting. And worry literally means a divided mind. Greek... Mary, I won't say try to say the word. A combination of two words. So when we look, we won't go to these verses right now, but Matthew 6 and verse 34, I think we'll have some coming up. And Philippians 4:6 is really focusing in on God's word with not worrying. But it can affect us physically, emotionally, spiritually. One verse that I really did do well with quite often, finally, it took me a while to get verses ingrained in my head just to go too quickly, but it's just the easy one, quick, short one, with 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. That one really helped me. I have to remind myself, God has not given me this spirit of fear, and I might say worry, add to it, but of power, love, and sound mind. I repeated that a lot to myself. Someone want to turn to Proverbs 29:25. These are some simple little verses, but very helpful. 29:25. The
fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted.
Thank you. And mine said, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. I think I have the New King James. Shall be safe. Yeah. I love that. Just thinking of that. Trusting in him, I'll be safe. Also, we don't have to turn to Proverbs 3:25, but not fear of our circumstances. Because there was more than one occasion where the kids would be in tears, and then are you, because of everything being so public and people knowing and this and that, are you going to divorce Dad? You know, are you going to this? So it was just really some tough stuff to deal with, and just tried to keep pointing back to God. So it's helpful to be able to name what we're afraid of. If it's and no matter what trial or whatever we're in, being alone or being jobless, or what job am I going to get next, or with me, what am I going to do? What are we afraid of? The children going through this, how, where would I move the house? What would this financially things look like? So Jesus wants us to experience freedom from worry and fear. And oh, someone wants to turn to John 14:27, and I'll keep talking while you guys turn. The part with getting to know God that helped me so much, and realizing, you know, He has a specific plan for all of us. He's powerful and control, sovereign. He's our good King. And I do believe that God used my trials as a means to conform me more to be like Him and to glorify Him. So really that focus being on Him once again. But does someone want to read John 14:27? Okay, thank you.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Thank you. So as we know, I think that's a beautiful verse. Jesus, and God wants us to just have that peace that only He can give. So rejoicing, things that helped. Rejoicing in my identity in Christ, drawing near to Jesus, our Savior, to find grace and help. I love Hebrews 4:14-16. Drawing near to Him, and the faithful, developing a faithful prayer life, which I would say throughout probably the very beginning of our process, or maybe even before, I was really trying to develop more of a prayer life. That then this just really helped me to develop it better and more. The whole taking one day at a time, which you guys have probably heard that a lot, and back to Matthew 6. Yeah, someone want to turn to Matthew 6:34? Did I say we were turning to one, too? Or we already read it? Okay, yeah, Matthew 6:34. I've had it up here more than once. But the one day at a time has been huge, practicing that. You want to read it?
So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Yeah, I love that. Just love that so much. That really helps people that are struggling with these habitual sins so much, too. When I've been in groups for my schooling, I mean, of course, that's just stressed a ton, because here, you know, they may have, I mean, on probation, there's fees to pay. There's a list of things for them to do every week just to not, maybe not have to go back to jail. I was with drug court people, and so literally that's helped me, the one day at a time. You know, of course we can plan and have goals, but just God is, you know, we're not guaranteed the next day. So that was helpful. Let's see. Of course, practicing loving God and others instead of focusing on me or myself or what I might lose. There's no fear in love, but, and I love this verse, John 4:18, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So that's a beautiful verse for us to focus on. So how many have you, probably all of you, but grieved a loss throughout life? Mm-hmm. And I really hadn't until this, because we had a miscarriage in between kids. And I mean, I cried a little bit, but it was just, I feel like I look back on life and hadn't really had much loss. Even when I lost my first grandparent throughout this process, I just really, really hadn't. So this was a very big learning experience and made me better. I think more present, more, you know, knowing how to deal. One counselor would say it's kind of like living in full color rather than just black and white. Everything's brighter, because if we don't feel the the lows as much as we do the highs. We'll just stay in this medium. You know, I think I was almost more of an overly positive. Everything's great. And it just wasn't, you know, really looking at the big picture sometimes and dealing with things correctly. So you've probably all heard that, you know, the situation to make us, situations can make us bitter or better. And I think this was definitely part of something we were at least taught, us girls at Faithful and True, that something we'd have to choose to grieve. Like, I think that's with anything, but probably people can kind of numb out or just try to ignore even the death and losses, but, or people passing away, but this was definitely going to have to be something we choose to step into. And so journaling helped me with this, and naming the losses was helpful. It was helpful to name them because I was also taught grief and gratitude go hand in hand. So with naming the losses, and I think can be grateful for. So I'm not just focusing on what I'm thankful for, which that's huge, but let's look at all this. And then focus on gratitude, but you kind of got to look at all of it. Process, not push. Do you guys have any tips or things that you'd like to share when you've been through hard times with grieving? I also have, it's almost like I had to get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. That doesn't even make any sense. But I just remember a friend and I were talking, and it was like, because I'll kind of get system depression. Just days can be long. Days, you know, it just seems like it's never going to lift. The heavy, just some really big heaviness for quite a while.
I would think, so Clint is my best friend in the whole world. He's the person that I tell everything to.
Right.
And I would think that feeling of betrayal, mm-hmm. not having your friend to talk to about it. I mean, you had to go to other people, mm-hmm. it's doing particularly hard because, mm-hmm. you know, he's my comfort. If somebody else betrays me, then he's the first person to mm-hmm. talk to about it. And, person, not, you know, not prayer, but the person that I talk to about it. So I can't even fathom. I think you're very brave.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, it's all, you know, praise the Lord for him and then all the help and resources. It's quite amazing because I know what you mean. There was definitely a time frame where it, you know, I'm glad I was close with my mom and I have a wonderful mother-in-law and had really close friends and sister-in-law, but it definitely puts a break in that, you know, because that's what I did too, you know, and it was just like, that was difficult. Mm-hmm. So, of course, what you guys have heard before, it's not a linear process. It's not all tidy and clean. It's just kind of all over the place, back and forth with grieving. And but I did learn, and I thought it was nice to, I've heard it put two different ways. It can be, sometimes we're just in it, right? But with some time, you can kind of set it down and then pick it back up. One counselor had said, she said this young woman had a really deep internal wound, and she said when you see your counselor one on one, she said you've got to open that up. You've got to talk about it. You've got to process it. You cannot hold it in any longer. This and that. And she goes, but when you before you leave the counselor, you guys can bandage it back up. And it can stay like that until you go see her again. Then you guys can open it up and talk some more until that there's just a scar. So kind of that process, I thought was just a good visual. It doesn't have to overtake us, you know, overwhelm us. Although sometimes it might feel like it. So resisting grief's temptations would be the doubt, anger, envy, self-pity. It could definitely have some temptations with it that doesn't look good. I definitely struggled with, I didn't think I did, but looking back, I can say I was just so frustrated, probably the anger part, but maybe a tad bit of self-pityness. It's just like very frustrating, not what you signed up for, you know, but it's like no one signs up for things like that, but being grateful and thankful. Okay, that's more. Okay, I'll just show you guys this book, and I haven't got to read it the whole way through. It talks about how Jesus promises that life will be filled with losses. I like how it said, suffering may be defined as getting what you do not want while wanting what you do not get. Getting what you do not want while wanting what you do not get. This includes all forms of loss, hurt, pain, grief, and weakness, all experiences of rejection, injustice, disappointment, discouragement, frustration. It says 1,185 out of the 1,189 chapters in the Bible cover suffering and death. So that was interesting too, and I haven't I'm like, is that right? that's a lot, but that's what I meant to get them out. I had heard, I'll just show you because I didn't want to type out or take up more time. We'll move on to the next subject. But I had heard someone give a talk on this book. And it's God's Healing for Life's Losses. And like I said, I haven't read it front to back. So I always, when you recommend things, you know, I'm like, well, heads up. I'm not sure if all of it's, you know, biblical. But you guys have probably heard of the, why I liked it, of the stages of grief. And so what it does, it takes scripture and like where the world talks about denial and isolation, stage one, it talks about the biblical grief response being candor, honesty with myself. And of course it explains everything. The stage two, anger and resentment. Okay, the first one was honesty with myself, candor. Second one, anger and resentment with the typical, but that, not that it's all crazy bad, but you guys learn that in school, like the stages of grief. It says the biblical grief response is complaint, honesty with God. And then how there's bargaining and works. And then instead, she says that is she, he, crying, asking God for help. And then instead of depression and alienation, it's comfort receiving God's help. And then there's regrouping, deadening, despairing. Oh, I don't know what that is. Anyway, it was more of what I've learned at least growing up, and it totally just puts it all with scripture and kind of a God right in the middle of all of it with the different stages. So the talk I heard was really good on that. Let's see. But moving on. Okay, so anger. What does God say about being angry, as we all know?
Yeah.
Be angry and do not sin. So, I don't remember talking about that a lot growing up or hearing a lot about that. So, we are going to be angry, but and do not sin. So what does that look like? Do you guys have any experiences or how you deal with that feeling? Or we could go back from, depends what we're angry about too, right? I mean, this is kind of a big subject. We won't stay here very long. But anybody have any thoughts just on anger in general?
I've always thought of the, be angry and do not sin. Mm-hmm. There's righteous anger because mm-hmm. God gets angry. Mm-hmm. So there's anger where you're justified mm-hmm. in it.
Right.
And then there's anger that's a selfish anger that's
right.
out of what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's a discernment. There's a right kind and a wrong kind.
Yeah, that's true. That's true because God was angry many times. So we should be angry at our sin. We should be angry at others' sin. And we should have. But like you said, the selfish anger or the sinful anger, how we respond when we do feel angry, whether it's right or wrong, because we can at least check ourselves. Yeah, that was good. I won't say a lot more on it because there's different ways. Psalm 13 and some of the other Psalms speak with a, you know, honest emotion. We know David was really, he's a really good example of crying out to God. His, of course he had a heart. He was a man after God's own heart. And let's see, I guess I do have that right here. We won't take the time to read it, but he cries out to God a lot. He's really open, obviously. This is Psalms in the Midst of Suffering, which there's several different ones, but he had a complaint due to the hardship of life to God. Because I never thought about doing that before, really. I mean, you know, just laying it out there. And then he's even frustrated that God wouldn't counsel him. and his request for God to act, and he asked God to respond to him, and then his trust, and of course he praises him. It just goes through. I won't go on with that because I wasn't prepared to bring it up, but I think it's such a good example and things we can go to right in God's Word that really help us process. I was with the biblical counseling certification training. I got to sit in on some, and one of the girls, young women, counselor had her do a lot of journaling with Psalms, different Psalms, and it was very, very helpful. So God wants us to bring our honest anger, grief, questions, and complaints to Him. Wants us to run to Him for comfort and ask the hard questions. But journaling did help me a lot, and it helped me to process things before I would go to Duane and talk about things too, and so it wouldn't be so ugly or messy. I could get it on paper first, and then so okay, forgiveness. This was big, and this was good for me to learn and practice and do. It's definitely an ongoing choice and process. Takes time and patience. I know that praying for God to give me forgiveness in my heart and to change my attitude, to change my thoughts and feelings, or for me to work to submitting Him, and for other people that were involved, for me to pray about forgiving them, and, you know, and then also, of course, if they're not saved, if they're not Christians, for them to become Christians, for them to, when I made myself start praying names out loud, and when I made myself start praying to love their soul, and then, this was the process for me, wasn't right away, and then for them to even be blessed, that's, I feel like God just really, really changed me when I consistently tried to do that when I was struggling. So at least Duane, he's right in front of me. Like we're dealing with each other. I've got to get to communicate and all these things, and then I realized, and that's kind of back to the triggers. When I, you know, I had to see people or had to, you know, different things like that. So some situations were easier than others. Of course, we know all tons of good verses and loving our enemies and praying for those who mistreat us. And see, we don't want to become bitter. I don't want to, you know, be that person. And there's lots of good verses. See, does anybody have anything they want to share with their situations in life and forgiveness?
Something we threw, and I talked about that a little bit, but when you realize how dependent you are on the grace and mercy of God, I mean, when you realize how much you needed that, it's much more easy to extend that to someone else.
Yes.
So we have to get rid of, well, I'm doing everything right, I've got it all together, and da-da-da.
Yeah.
When we can humble ourselves and realize I'm only saved by His mercy, then we can extend it to others.
Yeah. That's so true. I can't remember if I said that. I know you and I talked about it, but then if I said this already in front of you guys, I apologize. But I think it was just when we talked that did help me with staying at the cross with my own sins. He is forgiving me of much and continues to. So I hate my sins from the past, but I hope that if I hadn't done some of the things I've done, I would still feel and think this way, but it's helped me to be like, okay, yeah. I mean, there's just so many different situations I know of. And what you just said is huge for women. And divorce is allowed from adultery, for sure. And there are reasons. But even some, when their husbands are repenting and trying, they just struggle. And not that they're always stuck with what you just said. But I know some that have been. They just don't, there's nothing about them that's, you know, it's hard. It's a difficult situation. And it's hard to move through. So that's really big. What I was taught and what was helpful is that in the beginning I would have, you know, a lot of questions and, you know, if they keep exuding the fruits of repentance and godless are, you can tell, kind of like your question earlier, that they're moving in the right direction. This is not the back and forthness and everything else. Nobody's perfect. It's going to take time. But everything's on the table and this and that. It's helpful to only bring things up for learning purposes to try to understand how to move forward and heal. And that's a given. We all know that. We don't want to pound them in the ground. You know, it's not going to be good to spew out this and that. And I've messed up plenty of times. But it's okay, and you just want to bring up past things we've forgiven to learn from, or if something's happened now and how to proceed, we'll remember this and this and that. So that was helpful. And we don't want to bring things up to others and gossip or maliciousness for no helpful reasons. And then, I feel like I said this already a lot of times today, but the other thing that I was taught that goes with forgiveness is to not dwell on the offense myself internally. So process and deal with things, but that whole checking my thoughts and self is going to be huge and doing this God's way that way. So we can definitely turn into a victimizer instead of a victim when we choose not to forgive or how we respond. And we also know, of course, forgiveness isn't an event. It's a process. Like we said, it's a choice and ongoing. So there won't be immediate ratification of hurt or lack of trust or anger in those things. That just takes some time. It's not, well, I have a friend that heard a sermon recently that was mentioned forgiveness was forgetting. I've always learned forgiveness is not forgetting. I think God does the healing with that and things, you know, he can really, it's not in the forefront of my head all the time now. It takes time, but we don't just forget, you know, all the way. I'm glad sometimes I'm thinking, something happens. I thought, I forgot about that. So that happens sometimes, but I didn't totally forget about it because it's still, okay, that would be discouraging if forgiveness was forgetting because we wouldn't, that would be forgetting. Also a good point is, forgiveness is not peace at all costs. Misunderstanding and wrong attitudes and actions can result from the wrong view of forgiveness. It should not put us in a vulnerable position. If I forgive, it leads me back to thinking how we deal with our own sin and others' sin. We need to, it doesn't mean we're just not going to deal with what's still right in front of us or could happen. We should love others well and challenge their actions. We may be called to suffer through this in a godly way, but we must confront and stay vigilant if he or somebody is not exuding godly sorrow and the fruits of repentance. So it's just not peace at all costs, because I think that was kind of taught to me at some point right in the beginning. Well, you forgave him. And, well, I did, and I want to, and I do, but then we still have to deal with this, you know. Forgiveness is not turning a blind eye to sin. Not take matters into our own hands. It's really a big temptation, especially if you're trying to find things out, to kind of go to the level of some version of what that person may be doing to get information out of them. Or, I'm not making sense right now, but we just need to not, we need to stay on God's side with how we deal with all of it. We'll stop for like questions and comments here in a second because our time's almost up. I don't know that anybody would want to share this. If you guys mostly have gone through grieving, then there's been sadness and or deep sadness and or depression. I mean, a lot of people can struggle with different things like this. And there was just this little thing. I love these, and it just has so many good tips in the back of it of things to do. Let's see, God-centered that helps with times of life like that helped me too. And you guys probably know some of the basic things that we can do to help, but there's just a whole list that can help. I did take an antidepressant for 9 months. I tried at one point, and I didn't even give it 6 weeks. And then a year or two later, I did, and it really did help me. It kind of slowed down my thoughts. That's when I was really struggling, and the not knowing what was going on and trying to figure things out. And it did slow my thinking down. So I went to a doctor. I had a friend that she checked on my levels of things, although it's hard to really know your exact levels. I'm kind of confused on that issue because, you know, the epinephrine, the norepinephrine, because they say you really can't know, but she checked things. So I don't know. But hormonally, that was helpful too. But then with the antidepressant I took for 9 months, I was glad I did because I kind of battled that. I kind of didn't know if I wanted to do that or not. And, yeah, and I had a couple side effects that weren't fun, but I was overall glad that I did. So, of course, and with feeling how I did, I got to, once again, just, I feel like my ladies' Bible studies became a whole new, really God and me reading on my own personally, individually helped the most, but my Bible studies with others just took on a whole new meaning, I think. It just was really, really helpful. Okay, so I have this too. So if anybody wants copies of this, it's called post-traumatic growth. What I like about things like this is it's like, well, and this is from the Faithful and True off their website, but there's a scripture to reference, and they're like Christian counselors, but it's what the Bible already says. And then, you know, for 15 years, so-and-so, and they reference these people, have been studying, and they have found that if we deal with da-da-da-da X, Y, and Z ways, we're going to make meaning out of the pain, and so not have a victim identity and not minimize things either. But it is a good, good article. I would just put verses right by those right there, but it's really good. It's basically, if we're dealing with things God's way, that's kind of what that is. But I like when the psychological world kind of proves what we already know God says. So, okay, you guys have anything?
The word long-suffering keeps coming in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm sure you probably felt that way. Mm-hmm. And you mm-hmm. loved your husband. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you always, of course, go back to how long-suffering God is with us.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I mess up, God yeah. is long-suffering with me, saying, okay, Cheryl.
Right.
I'm forgiving you again.
Right.
Pick up and move on.
Right.
We need to be long-suffering with each other. We need to be long-suffering with our spouses because none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
We're all striving for the same goal of heaven, and
yeah.
we have to help each other get there.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny when you say that word long-suffering because there are so many times throughout the time span or that word was popping up and I'd be like, yeah, I've been suffering long, but no, I couldn't. Long's joking.
Thank it was
like,
God suffers with us though.
I know.
It's like, I know you're not saying
yeah.
that. Think how many times God, I mean,
yeah.
we take Lord's Supper every Sunday
yeah.
to remember what he did for me.
Yeah.
Because of my sin.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know what? I don't know why I'm not today because I just have a lot of times where I do now. Randomly, kind of randomly, yeah, worship and different times, I don't know, but that's a very good point, and when we can stay there, that's so helpful with dealing with our own stuff, with others, yeah, remembering that, so true.
And we sometimes right now, we're talking about, you know, you guys,
mm-hmm.
I said, oh, he did this wrong. What have I done wrong?
Yeah.
What are my faults? And he's
right.
humbly not saying, Cheryl, you did this. You know.
Right.
Like I said, none of us
yeah.
are perfect. It's easy to see their faults.
Right.
But, you know, when you point your finger, they always say there's three pointing back at you.
Right.
We need to be examining ourselves.
And yeah.
making sure that we are the people we need to be too. Because what you talked about in your earlier class,
yeah.
I can't take you to heaven on my soul and you can't take
right.
me to yours. I got to make sure that I'm right.
Yeah.
And that my heart and my soul is what God wants.
Yeah.
My heart and soul to be.
Right. Exactly. And that's been the biggest blessing in all of this for me to be looking at myself and growing and improving. I'm thankful for that. I think it's in my next part. I don't know if I said it. Some people call it a strangely wrapped gift. When we do go through these different trials, whatever they are, it's our total of getting to, have the opportunity to grow in Him. Yeah. There was something I was going to say with what you had said. That was a really good comment you made in any way about them, about our husbands. I can't remember. And dealing with things. You're so right. Oh, one of the things was the log, getting the log out of Roanoke. I feel like we read those verses and it's just easy. We know what those say. You know, like, of course I do. I'm thinking about it. When you really think about it, and it's like, okay, let me keep looking at myself for, you know, not that we don't ever go to other people and deal with, we need to deal with things, but it's just easy not to. Why is our nature to not? Yeah, look at ourselves first.
Do you feel like through this whole mm-hmm. process mm-hmm. of healing and mm-hmm. grieving that there were friends, family, whoever, acquaintances that you knew mm-hmm. that said or did things that were very helpful or that were not very helpful
right.
on either end that, mm-hmm. that maybe, like you said, people you forgave them, that's it,
yeah.
kind of thing, and that's not it, you know?
Right.
What were there things that stood out to you as that were very helpful in that process, that emotional process, or not helpful at all?
Right. You know, that is a good question. I don't know if this is a great answer or not, but it's just popping into my head. Like, I think when one person had said this to me and they meant well, but like more than once they were like, well, do you think he still loves you? And finally the second time I'm like, well, first time it was like, yeah, I do. And I think I understood what the question was, like that there's still what there. That's the one thing that kept me going too. There was still a connection. I really did. I never felt like he didn't. I mean, there was some, you know, I said ugly things too. I'm sure, but there's some ugly things said, and there's some really bad times. But I never had that, you know. But then by the time it's the second time or something was said, I'm like, I kind of was frustrated. I'm like, well, what does that matter anyway? I mean, we're married. Love's, it's a choice. I mean, what does that even have to do with anything? Yeah, that's how I felt. I didn't exactly say all that. So that wasn't a great thing to say because to me it wasn't. Maybe to somebody else it would be okay. Things that were helpful, I just feel like going back to really like meeting me wherever I was at. When someone was just listen and not feel like they had to like help me get a plan or help me go do X, Y, or Z, that would just feel more stressful than anything. And so that was helpful because then, see, we can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. And so it was I think I should have acted on things maybe sooner sometimes, but when I felt some type of pressure or something when I shared with somebody, I just wouldn't share with them as much anymore. Or I would push myself in knowing when I needed to do something, I need help. But if that makes any sense, and of course not letting sin go or like unsafe situations go or this and that. I have forgotten a lot of comments that I had, not a lot, there was a few after I had gone forward that people would come up to me and say different things. I thought, I don't even know what they just meant. I just kind of let those go. So I think some were good and some were not so good. And I think I was in a zone and kind of numb during those times. So I was like, that probably wasn't something I needed to address, but I didn't. So probably better that I didn't. So that's a good question. I'll try to think about that some more too, because I know there's some things that have been helpful that I'm not popping in my head right now. So probably non-helpful ones would stand out to me. And I don't think I've really had that many.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's been good. So. All right. 2:49. You guys want to take a break? Or does anybody have anything else? You can have more in 10 minutes. Okay.